Thank you, Paul and Bethany. Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 9. We're kind of going to go through the whole chapter, at least looking at different things there. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, though, is where we'll start. I want to talk to you tonight about Paul's companions. And just a beautiful chapter. Not all of it is positive, but truth doesn't have to be positive to be beautiful. Amen. It can show us some things that are not so positive, but they can help us and be a blessing to us. And Paul here gives just this huge list of companions. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments." Father, I pray you bless the preaching now and just help us, Lord, to see some things that will be a help to us. And I pray you'll guide us into the truth of the Scripture. And Lord, that we will be determined to know the truth from the Scripture more and more as we grow in the Lord. And I pray that we will have companions that also love to talk of the Scriptures and learn the Scriptures together. And I pray that you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking of Al, and I've had many, many, many friends over the years, and many companions, many co-workers, many who just were such a blessing to me, and I hope I was a blessing to them. And, of course, Al Morin was certainly one of those. I was thinking, as I was preparing the funeral, I've never really counted how many I've done, how many funerals. I've done a lot of them. I've done a lot of funerals that they were very close to me, very good friends, very close friends. I've done a funeral of my best friend, my assistant pastor back in Bern, Indiana. I did a funeral for another very close friend, 27-year-old young man that was at Fairhaven Baptist College studying to be an evangelist. He and I were very close, and I coached him in basketball when he was a teenager, and the Lord took him. I've preached, I know of three funerals I preached for deacons who were deacons when they died, and preached a couple others for deacons who were not deacons when they died, but they were deacons. And people that I serve with, people that I love, people that I preach to, people that sat in church, you've had funerals of people that you love very dearly, and they're very close to you, and it's always a hard thing. Again, I've said this many, many times, that I don't know how unsaved people ever go to a funeral. I don't know how you go through the service, to be honest with you. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no, you know, everything's just, it is just all focused on death. And death, everything's over. There's no hope. We have hope, amen. And praise the Lord for that. But it's always hard. It's always hard when your companions go. That's a tough thing. You know, these are people. Al Morin, you count on Al. I mean, I just counted on him. He Al was not able to do a lot of physical things, but he did so many things, and he was just such a good man and such a loyal deacon here at this church, and just loved you and loved this church and loved the Lord very, very much. And he was a companion to many of us, and we loved him. And the testimonies yesterday, it was just very obvious, all the things that were said, and that was a blessing to the family. I watched brothers and sisters tear up when people gave their testimonies, and I know it meant a lot to them. They maybe didn't know all of those things about what he meant to us here. And Paul here talks about his companions as he writes to Timothy. Now, no doubt, Paul saw many of his companions die. No doubt, in this time of persecution, Paul saw many people that he loved very, very much die. I'm sure that many of the Christians in those days, especially, they saw many young people's lives taken as the persecution against the church and against God's people raged on. I'm sure many of them saw so many people that were very close. I'm sure they attended funeral after funeral after funeral of people that they loved very much. And yet Paul here is talking about companions as he writes to Timothy. Now, he's telling Timothy about, as Timothy's starting out in the ministry, he's just telling him some things, and he's trying to give him some ideas about the ministry and about co-workers and about fellow servants. And you can tell as Paul, as God reveals this to us, how Paul had people that he loved very dearly. And as I said, there, I'm sure many of them had died. I'm sure Paul, over the years of his ministry, saw many of them die. And that was a hard thing. But I want to talk about these companions. And companions, I think we can get an idea of what was on Paul's heart. And many times with our friendships and our companions, our hearts get broken. And certainly yesterday is one of those times. We just don't understand. And my wife and I sometimes, we look around at all the bad people in the world. You know, you probably never do this, do you? And somebody who is just such a servant as Al Moran, the Lord takes them. And you look around and it's like, Lord, there are so many others you could have taken. Now, don't think I have a list or anything like that. Who's he talking about? You know, But honestly, you look around, you read the paper. I mean, there's all these people. You think, why didn't God? And by the way, you know what? God's God. He has a reason for everything He does. But there's companions though, and I've got three groups of companions that I find in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, where we kind of get an idea of Paul's heart toward his companions. Now, two of the groups, it's not good, but the last one is real good, and it really is the bulk of chapter 4. But some companions of Paul's that I want to show you, and the reason why, you know, when you get involved in the Lord's work, and I'm not talking about just being a pastor or an assistant or a teacher. I'm talking about in church. You get involved, and sometimes, you know, yes, we'll lose our companions to death. But there are other things, I think, that Paul is warning Timothy and letting Timothy know. There are some other things that it's going to be hard on you, Timothy. It's going to be hard on you. And so I have three kinds of companions here. Number one are companions who were swayed. Companions who were swayed. Now, Paul doesn't mention anyone here, but he says this. He says in chapter 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." He says the time will come. And he says that, and as I read that, I think, you know, it to me that indicates that might have happened to Paul. The time came where some of the folks that sat in his preaching service, some of them that sat in his Sunday school class, some of them that maybe were in his master club group, some of them that used to ride the bus, some of them that were in his Christian school classroom, some of them that he preached to in the teen meeting, some of them that he preached to in a church service, some of them that he preached to in an evangelistic meeting, or maybe it was teen camp, or maybe it was a youth conference, or maybe he knelt here at the altar and he prayed with them and he wept and he counseled them. Some of them, he says, the time will come, they won't endure sound doctrine. I call these companions who were swayed. They were swayed. They came, they listened, they served, but after a while, they just couldn't handle sound doctrine. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be very blunt with you tonight. That's why there are so many Burger King churches out there. Because there are many, many folks who just can't, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. And so they're easily swayed to do your own thing doctrine. And it's very easy because, and the Bible describes it here, it says, after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And it's because we sound, look, let's be honest with some folks, sound doctrine it offends every one of us one time or another. Now, the Bible says if you love the Word of God, you're not going to be offended. I understand that. But unfortunately, sometimes our old nature kicks in. And there's a lot of things we just really don't like about sound doctrine. Oh, we preach it. We'll teach it. And I'm just like anybody else, you know. I've got flesh too. And you know what? There's sometimes God will show me something in His Word, and I'll say, you know, God, I don't really like that. And that's happened over the years. It still happens. And the problem is our own lusts. Our own lusts, that's the problem. It's what I like. It's what I think is best. It's what I desire. It's what I feel. It's what makes me feel good. And sometimes sound doctrine doesn't make me feel good. Sometimes thou shalt not bothers me. And sometimes thou shalt bothers me too. And you know, when those times come, we are very susceptible to being swayed. Because we give in to our own lust. And we're easily swayed. Because, well, I mean, come on, that person's a Christian too. I mean, look what they're doing, and they're a Christian. They're serving God. Don't they love God? I'm just saying to you that God gave us the truth, and when we don't endure the sound doctrine of truth, and we turn instead to our own lusts, we're headed for trouble. And I don't know of anything that breaks. You know, a funeral is a hard thing. It is a hard thing. But I know I'm going to see Al again in heaven, and we're going to rejoice again. And all the funerals I've done, people have said, how did you preach your grandparents' funeral? How did you preach your best friend's funeral? How did you preach your mom and dad's funeral? How did you preach this deacon's funeral? How were you able to? Because I'm going to see him again. It's not like it's the end of everything. It's not going to be that long, and I'm going to see him again. But I'm going to tell you something to me that is harder, and I think it was to Paul as well. It's when somebody, a companion, is swayed just because they don't care anymore about, they can't endure sound doctrine. I feel, this makes me feel good. Do you know that's the same mentality that a person uses to become a homosexual? Same mentality. Oh, preacher, now you're going way over. But no, it is the same mentality. It's the same mentality that causes a couple to commit immorality and a young lady to get an abortion. What about my feelings? What about what I want? What about what I like? What about the imposition this is going to be on me? Same mentality. It's saying, you know, this is what I lust or I desire or I want. And if it's a conflict between what I want and what God says as truth, then I'm going to take what I want. Now, you know, when I was 17 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I started to learn at that time, as a young teen and a hippie teenager at that, I started to learn that there is something bigger than what I want. And you've heard many of our conflicts. You've heard, you know, you've got to hear Pastor and Mrs. Rogers grow up. Because I've given it in sermon illustrations many times. And we sat and I literally ground my teeth sometimes as the preacher preached. But he preached the truth. And I mean, I would just sit there and grit my teeth. And I'd look over it at my wife. I'd say, we're not coming back. That's it. We're not coming back. But you know what? It was sound doctrine. It was what the Bible said. And I watched her tug on her mini skirts constantly. You know, he'd start in, boy, preaching about women dressing wrong and everything, and she'd pull on her skirt trying to make it longer. You know, and I'd look over and I'd say, you know what? There's people out there that go to church that wear those. We don't need to put up with this stuff. But you know what? It was sound doctrine. And I didn't necessarily like it. And I mean, many, many times I went to the altar and I'd be shaking my head like, I don't like this. But I found out that God's right. And sound doctrine. I can't. Look, it's the same mentality. This idea of well, here's what I want. It's the same mentality of couples who are living together today. This is what I want. Well, what about what God says? Same mentality. Same mentality of couples messing around. You know, okay, well, God says good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, everybody else, who cares what everybody else is doing? But again, I don't want to get on all that. I'm just saying it's so easy to be swayed. Do you know, back when I was a long-haired hippie, right after I got saved, there weren't a whole lot of Burger King churches around back then. There were some. But they're everywhere today. Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Right? Hold the preaching, hold the doctrine. Right? Hold the soul winning. Hold the altar call. Hold old-fashioned music. Right? Yeah, hold the standards. Don't tell us what to do. Don't tell us how to live. Don't tell us not to touch one another. Don't tell us not to make out. Don't tell us, don't tell us, don't tell us, don't. We can go somewhere else and do our own thing. I understand. And we're easily swayed. Don't tell me what to do. But you know, sound doctrine does tell us what to do. I'm sorry, folks, it does. Okay, I'm not an independent fundamental Baptist because that's what I want to be. I am that because that's what God showed me is the truth. Now, I understand there's independent fundamental Baptists out there that aren't necessarily like us. There's Baptists out there certainly that aren't like us, and we're not like them, and all kinds of people. So I'm just, rather than put a tag on me, I just believe this book. I believe sound doctrine. And sound doctrine draws a line, and sound doctrine says this is black, and this is white, and here's the line. Okay, and again, I'm just like you. I like all the gray area stuff. That'd be all right with me. When that preacher started preaching on 1 Corinthians and talking about men having haircuts and everything, mine was down on my shoulders. And I started trying to tuck it while he's preaching. While she's pulling on her skirt, I'm tucking my hair. I'm saying, hey, I don't have to put up with this stuff. But you know what? If it's a shame for a man to have long hair, then who am I to argue that? Well, you're not cool. Well, I'm cool now. But you know, sound doctrine is telling us what to do. Sound doctrine is telling us what not to do. That is sound doctrine. Okay, and I understand. Now, here's the thing, and I really didn't mean to spend a lot of time on this, but on this part here. But look what it says. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Now, some people say that having itching ears goes with the teachers, but I think it actually goes with the people above that that are going after their own lust. They have the itching ears. And the truth of the matter is, it's like a dog with fleas in their ears. They're going to go to the one that scratches their ears. Right? Come on, you've all had a dog comes up to you and he wants his ears scratched. And, dog comes up to, for example, my wife, and she'll grab hold of the ear, and scratch and rub around the head and rub the belly and all that kind of, and everything. And dog comes over to me and I just, kind of look at it. Well, who's the dog going to go to? Dog's going to go to her, of course. But you have to understand something, folks. God told Timothy in verse 2, preach the word. Just preach the word. Okay, you're not supposed to just be an ear scratcher. Preach the word. Won't people get mad? Oh, will people ever get mad? Just preach the word. Because that's what we need. I'm reminded of the folks in Isaiah's day that said, speak unto us smooth things. And so what happens, and it's a heartbreaker, I'll tell you, it breaks my heart. It may be the hardest thing about pastoring, to be honest with you. Funerals are hard. This is hard as well. And it says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Turn from truth to fables, or that which is fiction. Swayed from the truth. And it happens often. Can I just say to you this? When you leave the truth, you open yourself up to every kind of error that is out there. When you leave the truth. Once you leave truth, you're headed for trouble. Always. You leave truth, then you start going along with the May 21st rapturites. Because you've left the truth. You go along with the time zone rapture theory. You know, where... Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But it's just so ridiculous to me. I can't believe... There's probably somebody sitting here... I thought that's what it was. No, God says no man knows the hour or the day. You can't do it. But when you leave the truth, you can start following that kind of stuff. Didn't you understand? You start leaving the truth, pretty soon you become a Mormon. Not Rick Mormon, but because you left the truth. You can believe anything. You leave the truth, you become a Seventh-day Adventist. Right, Brother Hawkins? But you have to leave the truth to become that. Leave the truth, you become a Jehovah's Witness. Hey, do you know how many folks were in Jim Jones' cult that years ago in Guyana, South America? Do you know what kind of denomination they came from, most of them? Anybody know? Independent Baptists. That's exactly right. You know what happened? They left the truth. You say, well, you know, they're supposed to be able to strike out on their own. Oh, that's the biggest lie of the devil. What do you suppose the church is all about? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not supposed to strike out on our own. Because if you strike out on your own, there's error out there that will find you. Because if you leave the truth, don't turn from the truth. When you leave the truth, you open yourself up to every kind of error that's out there. Gossip, for example. Gossip's not the truth. Gossip isn't the truth. It's amazing. Well, so-and-so said it. So? But I saw it on the internet. Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you, some of you spend too much time on the internet, and you better get back in your Bible. Because I'm telling you, there is a lot of non-truth on the internet. And there's a lot of non-truth on Facebook. And sad to say, there's a lot of non-truth on your telephone. And when you leave the truth, look, every scorner will find you to spread their garbage to you. And it's not long, and you know what happens? You're turning, and you're swayed. You're swayed from church. You're swayed from a godly influence. You're swayed from godliness. And you follow your own lusts. And pretty soon you may start your own belief that allows all your own lusts. That's the big popular thing today. Really, just whatever I lust after, I'm going to start a church and push that thing. Or just tell everybody, do your own thing. Just put your money in the plate. By the way, Paul told Timothy, verse 2, anyway, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove. See, reprove, that's not popular. Rap with the rev, that's popular. Put the pulpit aside, get rid of the altar, set a little stool up here. The dude sits up here and just raps with the folks. Yeah, just let's talk about it. Surely you have an opinion. Brother, read from your Bible. What's yours say? Read from yours. What does yours say? Oh, that's enlightening. Oh, yours doesn't say what his says. Wow, isn't that a blessing? Well, what's your opinion? What's your opinion back there? You've been through a lot of things. What's your opinion? And you know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, preach the word. And as you preach the word, reprove. Rebuke. Hey, don't do that. That's rebuke. You know, that's what it is. It's not, now I don't want to hurt your feelings. but exhort too. Lift people up too. You have to do all those things. And long suffering. You know, my wife says this to me all the time. Honey, you are too patient. It's really not patience. Patience is dealing with things. Long suffering is dealing with people. And long suffering is, and I that's a good one, long suffering. But notice what he says. He says, and doctrine. That's truth. I didn't mean to spend so much time on this, but understand, one of the biggest heartbreaks of your life, funerals are tough, but those friends who are swayed, it'll break your heart. Oh, I don't believe this anymore. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I don't believe that. Yeah, but you've been here at the altar. You've gone soul winning with me. You've rode the bus. You led people. You taught in a Sunday school class. Yeah, I don't believe any of that anymore. I'll tell you, it'll break your heart. But I promise you this, Satan has his influence in so many areas anymore that it's easy. I'll tell you this, be careful of your lusts. Be careful of your own desires. Be real careful, because there's something out there that will appeal to your lusts, and it's not the truth. We need to stick to the truth. That's why more than ever we need to be in our Bibles studying the truth. There's companions who were swayed. But then number two, Paul talks about companions who strayed. It's not so much they changed their belief. They just simply quit. They strayed. They sinned. They got involved in sin and just left. Demas was one of them. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you know, we think about loving the present world, and we're always thinking about, you know, he's into rock music and all that kind of stuff. No, he might have just been into money. Who knows? You know, I don't know. Pleasures, treasures, could be any number of things. He loved the present world. And he strayed away from the things of God. There might be an indication, and there, it depends on what books you read and everything, as to Demas maybe getting back and getting right with the Lord. But we see him busy serving the Lord, and all of a sudden he strays. It can happen with sin. It can happen with any number of things. But the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me. And I'm going to tell you, it breaks your heart. It'll break your heart. Those who've strayed. The Bible talks about some other ones here in verse 16. And these I simply call the deserters. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Here Paul's talking about his trial. And nobody was there. They all deserted him. Said, but all men forsook me. But here, notice his love for them. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing verse right there. You ought to read that over and over and over again. Just because somebody's not your friend anymore doesn't mean you shouldn't be theirs. And that means we pray. But these just took off. They strayed away from the things of God. Not that they necessarily changed their belief. They just simply, they quit. Nobody stood with him. Where were they? Home watching TV? I don't know. Maybe they were just uncomfortable being on trial. I believe we'll see more and more of this. We'll see more that are swayed, I guarantee. We're going to see that more and more. And we're going to see folks who stray more and more. And pretty soon they're living a very, very wicked life. Yeah. Paul forgives them, though. Companions who were swayed. Companions who strayed. But the main group here is number three, the companions who stayed. And praise God for those. Praise God. Praise God for those that just stick with it. Just keep going. Just keep going for the Lord. I like what Paul says about himself. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, by the way, he is the righteous judge. It really doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong here on this earth as far as what we think about each other. You better believe you're right. Amen. But He is right. He is right, and He is the righteous judge. And I'm going to tell you something. He's the righteous judge, and Paul said this, He'll give me this crown at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And there's the companions who stayed faithfully by His side, faithfully with Him. The Bible talks about a fella in verse 10, Crescens to Galatia. Talks here in we'll look at Titus in verse 10. It says, Titus unto Dalmatia. And Titus, of course, he went on to further ministry and serve the Lord in a great way. And he hung in there. I like what he says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Luke. You know, here Luke is a doctor. And Paul had all these health issues, and God made sure there was a doctor that was with him. But here's somebody. What about Luke? Could money have called him? Sure could have. Could the world have gotten after Luke? Oh, yeah, of course. Well, he's a doctor. Could he have maybe started thinking that humanism's right? Or maybe evolution was right? Or some of those things? Could Luke have been swayed? Well, I guess Luke could have been swayed as easily as anyone else. But he said, no. He said, I'm going to stick with the truth. And I'm going to stick with Paul. Amen. Luke's with me, he said. I like verse 11 too. It says, take Mark. That's a powerful verse right there. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Oh yeah, Mark. Wasn't he the guy that Paul wouldn't let go with him before? Yeah. Remember that? If you don't, look at it. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And if you study that, you know, there were some trials and problems in Pamphylia. And I guess, you know, maybe Mark, he strayed for a little while. Maybe he went away for a little while. I'm not sure. But the contention, it caused contention between Paul and Barnabas. But I like back here in verse 11, wow, take Mark. Hey, in fact, bring him. Bring him with thee. He's profitable to me. He has something. He'll be a blessing to me. Wow, that's good. Isn't it something that there are companions in the church, companions in the ministry that are a blessing to you? Isn't it great that you can get together with folks and talk about things that are you know, beyond the baseball scores and hockey and everything else? It goes beyond all that, and you can talk about the things of God. And you know, here's somebody, Mark, yeah, Mark. Okay, he failed once, but wow, he sure would be profitable to me. Isn't it great that there's folks in a church that you can go to that'll be a help and a blessing to you, like Mark? Of course, they'd never get a chance to be a blessing if you didn't give them that chance. Yeah, but look what he did. Oh, well, look what you did. I often wonder how many Marks are here. Don't raise your hand if your name's Mark. I often wonder how many, you know. They blew it, and everybody knows it. You blew it, and only you know it. Can you tell me what the difference is? If both ended up at the altar and got right with God. Can you forgive Mark? Can you? Can you forgive Mark? Okay, whatever he did. You know, I don't know what it was. He didn't go with him to Pamphylia and he let Paul down. Can you forgive those that let you down? Can you see the profit in them? Okay, they let you down. Can you see some profit in them still? Like Paul did, because these were his companions. Companions who stayed. And there's Mark. Verse 12, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. There's a servant. Tychicus. Look at verse 19. Salute Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Yeah. Boy, there's some folks Of course, Priscilla and Aquila, you know about them. How about verse 20? Erastus, he abode at Corinth. It says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. By the way, there's a good proof that God doesn't heal everybody. Amen. You know, some of these folks that have been swayed from the truth, you know, that are following the charismatic movement, and, you know, oh, God, you know, God heals everybody, and it's God's will that everybody be healed. Well, tell them what happened to Trophimus? They start telling you your prayer life's not good enough and everything else, and that's why you're not being healed. Ask them how they think Paul's prayer life was. Because Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, I got news for you. If anybody's a faith healer, it would have been Paul. What in the world are you doing, Paul? Leaving him there sick. It was obviously God's will, right? But there's a companion, Trophimus. Don't you like all these names? Wouldn't you like to have them on your prayer list? Yeah, look at verse 21. He talks about some other ones. Now, these are folks that are right there. At least they somehow have contact with Paul. Eubulus greeteth thee. Amen. Or you might say Eubulus, which is okay. And Pudens. Maybe you used to call your little daughter Puddin. Now, this is Pudin. Then there's Linus. And there's Claudia and all the brethren. I love reading this. There's all the brethren. Hey, listen. They all greet you. Timothy, they're praying for you. Don't you love it when people pray for you? I love it when folks say, "Preacher, I'm praying for you." I had a lot of calls this week, and we now have a terminology here in the church. It's called pastors in. Where's Patty? What do we call that? Jenny would know that. What's it called? The end of the week. We have a terminology. She just doesn't know what it is. Insane? No, that's not it. Brother Chase, what did I tell you? Two words. No. Like I say, everybody's familiar with this. Obviously, they've all been swayed. But funeral mode. Thank you for joining us. Funeral mode means leave me alone. And that's what it is. But I thank God for so many that pray. Don't you love to hear folks tell you they're praying for you? Especially people you know who pray. Sometimes I think God let Al live as long as he did because Al was praying. You know, he couldn't do anything else. But I know he prayed. I know he told me he prayed. And what a blessing to have someone praying for you. And, you know, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. Oh, Claudia says, "Hey, how's it going?" Linus said today he's praying for you. Oh, Pudens, you remember Pudens, don't you? Pudens, we went soul winning together. Pudens, he's doing great. He loves you. Amen. Eubulus, yeah. You know, old Eubulus, sounds like a disease. But anyway, oh, it's bad. But all of these, they stayed. Do you understand the time they're staying? It's a tough time. It's persecution. People are dying. People are going to jail for the cause of Christ. See, we're not today. Why would you be swayed today? Come on, seriously, why would you be swayed? Well, I'm uncomfortable. Okay. Good night in the morning. Yeah. Well, it just doesn't float my boat. Oh, that isn't what it's about. You suppose it was floating Jesus' boat hanging on a cross? Huh? Okay, so you strayed. Now get right with God and get back. But especially I think of Timothy, who was Paul's companion. Here's what he told Timothy. He said in verse 9, and boy, this is such a blessing to me. He said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Come to me. Timothy, you're like a son to me. Come to me. I need the companionship. Timothy, please come to me. By the way, he's in jail. Do your best. Diligence. Quickly. Come to me. Come see me. He said in verse 11, he said, bring Mark with you. He'll be profitable. He said in verse 13, he said, oh yeah, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. Oh, there's another one. Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee. Bring that coat with you, the cloak. He said, you know, winter's coming on. It's going to be a little cold here in jail. Could you bring me my coat? Oh yeah, he said, the books, but especially the parchments. Timothy, I got some Bible studying I need to do with you. Make sure you bring those with you when you come. Oh, he also told him this. He said in verse 14, he tells him about somebody's. He tells him, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. It's interesting that Paul would bring that up. By the way, in this day, you're not supposed to name names. Remember that? Paul did. And he said the Lord reward him according to his works. But then he warns Timothy about him. Why? Because this is where Timothy's going to be ministering, where Alexander the coppersmith was. He says this, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Why would a coppersmith be so upset at Paul? Does anybody have any idea? Idols, that's exactly right. That's his money. He opposed the things of God. Paul said, Timothy, beware. Beware. You know, that's a friend, though, by the way, that will warn another friend of something dangerous. Yeah, I'm telling young people, well, my parents just don't understand. They're warning you. They're trying to help you understand. They love you. Yeah. We should be very diligent to warn those that we love about danger in their lives, potential danger. Again, he says to Timothy in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Twice, Timothy, I've got to see you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Enjoy the companions that you have. You know, fellowship with folks. Get together with folks. Turn off the television and enjoy the companions. I close with the last companion that stayed with Paul. Verse 17. Many were swayed. Many strayed. But the companions who stayed. And you know what? If everybody leaves, if everybody deserts you, if everybody goes on, some die, some are swayed, some stray. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Amen. And he will. Amen. Don't you be the one who swayed. Don't you be the one who strays. Because I promise you this, the Lord will always stay with you. He said, he stood with me. He said, I was in the trial and there were no men that were there, but the Lord stood with me. God says, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And not only did he stand with me, the Bible says he strengthened me. Strengthened him so much, the Bible says, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So he's in court. He's alone, except the Lord's with him. And in court, he preached. What did he preach? He preached the word. Same truth he's always preached. Same truth that put him in jail. Same truth that may put us in jail someday. Well, why would you sway now? You know? Why would you stray now? We're not going to jail for the truth. Well, my friends don't like it. Then they're not very good friends. and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve, oh, by the way, it's like he preserves his word, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very clearly, God will deliver us from you, King. What? You're going to die. Okay. Then we're delivered. Amen. And you know what? The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Let's first of all, let's be a companion who stays. Let's be true to the Word of God. Let's just be true to the truth. Let's not desert it. Let's not be swayed from the truth. Let's not stray from the truth. Let's stay with the truth. And let's realize that no matter what everybody else does, and in this world and in Christianity, and we're going to see all kinds of fruity stuff. We're seeing it. I'm talking about stuff I never dreamed I would see in the name of Christianity. And it according to my Bible, it's going to get worse. But let's understand this. No matter what happens, the Lord's with us. The Lord stood with me. Why? Because I preached the Word, that's why. Lord strengthened me. Why? So I could preach the Word, that's why. And why? So that God's Word could be fully known, that people could hear the gospel. I know, it seems like nobody wants to hear, doesn't it? But there's some out there. There's still folks getting saved. On Saturday, Brother Chase and his wife went out soul winning and saw two people trust Christ as Savior right before the funeral. I thought that was only fitting. Yeah, right? And we're going to see them saved. We'll see more and more and more and more and more, because there's people out there that want to hear the truth. We can't sway. I know it'd be easy. It'd sure be easy. Just, put on my Burger King uniform and just have it your way. That's the easy way to go. But truth never has. How many people have died for the truth? Yeah, truth has never been easy. All the disciples died for the truth. I'm not, and I don't know that you'll have to, but I think we should be able to take some things we don't like, take some things that are a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank God for companions. Thank God over the years, so many, just sticking by the stuff, just doing right, just keep going for the Lord. Thank God. I hope some of you young people will decide, you know what? I'm going to stick with the truth. I'm not going to go for fables. I'm not going to go for things that scratch my itching ears. I'm just going to go for the truth and stick with it. I hope some folks will decide today that, you know what, you're going to quit listening to gossip and garbage and junk and scorners and the internet and all the junk that's on there, and just I'll find the truth. I'm going to listen to the truth. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.